Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you hear me doing a read for a great sponsor like Flag and Anthem and promoting an event with one of our coworkers doing a live appearance, and you hear that I am completely butchering the name of the place, why don't you correct me?
Okay.
Why don't you say, hey, Evan, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're an idiot, and it's called the Tap Room.
So this is actually
kind of... Why do you wait till the segment is over?
There comes a certain point in life with a lot of things where you run out of time to ask this question. So you just kind of like sit back and go, I'm just going to assume I know the rules and I don't. Of all my years working in radio, you know a question I never asked anybody?
Yeah.
Hey, if somebody's doing a sponsorship read and they screw something up, are you supposed to jump in mid-read or just
absolutely.
Let them sit?
No, absolutely.
I kind of look at it as like, hey, you know, he's mid-read. Is my voice supposed to be over this at any point?
No. Because in fairness, the Tap Room is a place in Farmingdale.
Yeah.
It's where the event is occurring. If I'm calling it by the wrong name because I can't read because I'm an idiot.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too.
Then
this falls on me. I mean, if the word is TAP, it couldn't be an easier word to read. And you're calling it because you have baseball on your mind and you're thinking about rainy Yankee Stadium tonight and you're calling it the Tap
Room. I'm a loser.
I know your brain works.
It's all Freddie Freeman's fault. He had a home run in the Dodger game and I was distracted. But yes, I will point it out again. Tap Room. They're giving away cool stuff. Gio's going to be there 11 a.m. on Saturday.
And it's Farmingdale. There's multiple Tap Room locations. Farmingdale.
And it's in Farmingdale. Now, here's the situation with the baseball, and we'll get into some Jackson Dart, and we'll get back to your calls. The baseball will always be out there. Football as well at 888-808-1019. The Mets currently lead the Reds and the Diamondbacks by one game. They don't have tiebreakers on either team. So clearly, if they win their games, they hold on to a one-game lead, they'll make the postseason. But in the meantime, it'd be nice to see the Reds lose again and the Diamondbacks lose again. And they're both playing afternoon games right now before the Mets play tonight. The Cincinnati Reds currently have a 2-0 lead. It is the eighth inning. There's a man on base and one out. So we will keep you posted. If the Reds win, it just continues to apply the pressure on the Mets that they really need to win tonight to ensure that they control their future. The Diamondbacks, same situation, game behind the Mets with the tiebreaker, are currently trailing the Dodgers 2-0 in the top of the second inning. The Diamondbacks came back last night. They couldn't pull it off. So good news on the Dodger-Diamondback front. Bad news so far on the Reds-Pirates front. But obviously the most important thing is tonight when the Mets play the Chicago Cubs, they need to win their freaking game.
With Tom Seaver Jr. on the mound.
With Nolan McClain, DeGrom, Seaver, Gooden on the mound tonight. Now, before we get back to your calls, we need to have a conversation. I like to even call it an intervention.
All right, let's go.
An intervention with you, with Tommy, and with all the Giant fans in the audience.
Sure.
We need to make a promise. Okay? We'll promise. Jackson Dart's going to play football on Sunday. I don't care how bad he looks. I don't care if he throws 4 interceptions and looks overwhelmed. We have to be patient. He is a rookie. And as Tiki Barber once famously told us, rookies suck. It doesn't mean we can't criticize him. Doesn't mean we can't say, hey, that was bad. But let us not bury the poor kid after
one
game.
I hate rookies.
Okay? That's room number one. Number two.
Fair.
Because it works both ways. This is the more challenging one. I don't care how many touchdown passes he throws. I don't care if you guys beat the Chargers by 30. That'll be great. You should be excited about winning. We cannot put him in the Hall of Fame. We need to at least show restraint with a young rookie quarterback because we make this mistake way too many times in this town. Danny Dodd, Zach Wilson sucks.
Yeah.
Even though that turned out to be true. Sam Darnold, woo! I mean, we need to make a deal that we have to be patient, good and bad, with this young kid making his first NFL start on Sunday.
So I don't want to cross-pollinate, let's say, the Jet and Giant fans, but I think that as beaten down as dead as the Giant fans have been, and we deserve a little happiness here, we also have been through this twice in 20 years. This will be the third time, and we've seen like the ebbs and flows of both. We, as fans, clearly overreacted to Daniel Jones beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that first game in 2019. We overreacted to some of the wins to the point he stuck around here for 6 years, and we still fought with each other about whether he was good or bad. We also probably overreacted to a team that had 5 wins and went to a rookie in Eli Manning when he lost all of those games, and we were debating. We wanted him thrown out the year he won the Super Bowl. I mean, we were still debating Eli Manning. I think that we have a PhD in first-round rookie quarterbacks from both how it turned out good and both how it turned out bad and how we overreacted both ways, that I think that this is a fan base foaming at the mouth to be patient with a quarterback. Jeez, we've been patient enough about winning games. This is our last hope. And we know the schedule's tough.
I'll tell you why I'm skeptical of that.
Okay.
I'm skeptical that any of those things I said would actually happen. What I mean by that is the fan showing restraint. I think that if he plays really, really well, from a desperation factor, you'll go nuts. I can already imagine what Tommy's going to say on Monday.
But you'll go nuts in happiness that, hey,
and you too. I mean, you're both the same, honestly. I shouldn't just pinpoint Tommy. You're both clowns when things go well.
I'm going to give you a Tiki, classic Tiki, hold on here.
Yes.
Are you saying that if Jackson Dart beats the Chargers Sunday, throws 3 touchdown passes, and the crowd is oozing, we don't have the right to be, you know, pumped up and go, hey, maybe
absolutely,
this is the guy?
Absolutely, to me, excited.
The classic, but, you know, maybe we got something here from Joe?
I think that maybe we got something, sure. But this is it. Like, we have to show restraint. Sam Darnold won his first NFL game on a Monday night in Detroit, and they dropped like 48 points that night. What does it mean? Yeah.
Well, I think another recent example is last year, everybody went nuts about Bo Nix. The guy looks like he stinks through the first 3 weeks this year. I think a 2-year barometer is fair to judge a guy. I do. And I think we're going to be pumped up at times. We're going to be down at times. But I don't think you make it definitive. Do we have an answer on this guy until 2 years? Now, Jaden Daniels is a little different. The guy went to an NFC.
Sure. There are things you can do in your rookie year where you're like, I just know it. No question about it. And I guess vice versa, too. But then again, I pause on that because the kid in Carolina, Bryce Young, looks so bad. And now it's like, oh, maybe they got something in him. So even when it's really bad, you need to be patient. The reason why, I know it sounds crazy today because everyone loves Jackson Dart and is excited about Jackson Dart, rightfully so. The reason I can see it turning negative quicker than you could imagine is because of these planes. And what I mean by that is there was a report earlier this morning. What was it? NJ.com had it?
Yes. I think it was Daryl Slater.
That there are numerous fans, I guess, that are planning on having more planes fly overhead at MetLife Stadium. And I assume it's more fire Dable, fire Shane, or just reminding John Mara the Giants suck. Something of that nature.
Yeah.
I think there is so much negativity around this current administration. And this quarterback was drafted by the current administration. That if he struggles early, there will be some, and I'm not accusing you two of doing this, but there will be some who will pin their dislike of Daboll and Shane and say immediately, see, they couldn't even get the quarterback right. That would not surprise me, and that is not fair, despite how you feel about Brian Daboll, despite how you feel about Joe Shane. I think we can exclusify those guys. I think Brian Daboll can be fired at the end of the year, even if you think you have something in Jackson Dart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can happen, and I'll explain why as the days go on. But I think there's so much negativity in the air around Giant fans and the way they feel about this coach and this GM to the point that planes are being scheduled. Why are planes being flown over MetLife Stadium when you made a quarterback change? Why?
Okay.
Tell me why.
Okay, so I think there's two things at play here. Why? I'm going to venture to guess that these planes, because it takes a lot to, I know one was pulled by GoFundMe, were put in place and the measures were put in place before the Jackson Dart announcement. But that being said, I think it's extremely idiotic. And I understand that Giant fans are angry and one thing. You did the plane thing last year. It didn't really lead to anything. It's just dopey and it's just stupid. And to be frank, this is the one day left on the Giant schedule where you have a chance to at least be positive and have the electric energy. We're going to mope around and everybody can point up holding their beers at a tailgate. Look how funny that plane is. I think if you've contributed to this plane, you're an absolute loser. I do. I think you're a loser. I think you're as big a loser as Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have been here. But that being said, I think that the Jackson Dart scenario is a lot like the Jonah Tong, Nolan McClain scenario. I think if the Giants go out there and stink, you're saying, oh, you know, be patient with Jackson Dart. I think the ire is going to be at the organization and the ire is going to be at Shane Daboll. I don't think Jackson Dart himself is truly going to face ire unless he just looks, by the time we get to December, like somebody who can't figure out how to play the quarterback position. I don't think you're getting that early on from him.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to play. Like, I've been thinking about that the last 48 hours. Like, what do I think is actually going to happen? And I guess the cop-out answer is a little bit of everything. There'll be some good. Yeah. There'll be some bad. It'll be a typical rookie. And I do think it, what you're saying is fair. Like, it is fair that people should lay off the kid. I'm just not convinced they are. And I don't think it's the same as the Mets with David Stearns, because I think with David Stearns and these young pitchers, it feels like, hey, you screwed up, so we rushed you. And in Jackson Dart's case, you know they needed to draft a quarterback. There were many Giant fans who wanted to draft a quarterback last year.
And I just don't like hypocrisy either. I mean, I totally get not being able to stand the stomach look at Brian Daboll, Shane. Like, I get that. But all these Giant fans who can't stand him were the first ones with the pom-poms out every preseason game where Dart was shining. They were chanting for him last week versus Kansas City.
No, I got you. But
now we're going to turn around if he stinks in one game and do this?
This city turns very quickly.
Not in one game.
Not one game, but sooner rather than later.
How soon are we talking?
I wouldn't be surprised. Look, this is about wins and losses. It really is. If they're not winning games, like they lose to the Chargers, like most of us may expect, and how about they lose to the Saints? We all look at the Saints as, oh, that's the giant win. What do you think the Saint fan is thinking?
Oh, they're thinking that's the Saint.
Of course, they're looking at that game saying that's our win. If this team is 0-8, 0-9, 0-10, or some absurd record, and he's not playing well, I mean, haven't you been in New York long enough to know that fair or not, people will turn? You may not turn. Tommy may not turn. That's why I was careful to not necessarily accuse you guys of that. I think you'll be more pom-pom guys, if you ask me. You'll be more...
For Dart specifically. I'm getting to the point where I've had it a little bit with the organization, the coach of GM more than... And I was a defender.
Took you a while.
It did take me a while. And Dart, I didn't even want to draft, as we've noted. But I'm going to give my rookie... It's a reopening day. I'm giving my rookie quarterback all season
before
I'm evaluated.
I think if Dart stinks on Sunday, the negativity will be more towards the organization for rushing him. Because there's a lot of people that think this is a panic move, and they will blame the head coach more than they will blame Dart. They will say, well, what do you expect? He's going against one of the best head coaches in the league. This team's undefeated. He was thrown out there just to sell some tickets so there wouldn't be planes flying. So not his fault. As far as the optimism, which is definitely coming from me and Sean, this is a quarterback. This is the holy grail of positions in sports. If you can nail the quarterback, you could be the Bills, you could be the Chiefs, you could be the Ravens, and every year you go into the year thinking you win the Super Bowl. I understand you have to temper them, but Evan, it's a lot to ask for a fan base that has been bad for. You should know better than anybody. But you sat next to Joe for all those years. He said, maybe we got something here. Now, obviously, that's not as hyperbolic, but you kind of let him go and have his dreams every time. And maybe we got some with Geno Smith, and maybe you didn't think they did, but you let Joe dream that we're dreaming for that next quarterback.
Oh, there's a difference between maybe we got something and we got something.
Yeah.
There is a difference between the two.
I don't know. All I know is this. This kid is already going to have an uphill battle by the idea of whatever's going on with the head coach, the team stinks. You heard the tone and the voice of Dexter Lawrence yesterday. I would just ask any Giant fan who claims to be a true Giant fan, is Sunday really the day for planes? There's going to be a lot more home games this year. Is the first day of Jackson Dart's career really a day for planes? Really, you had to reach into your pocket with all the great charities and real stuff that
don't
can use
that.
Money
don't
up?
Do
no,
that.
I am
don't
doing that.
Because you could do that with anything.
No. It's absurd to spend money on a plane in this town to fly over. People in a park, I'm like, go look at that. I think it's absurd and stupid.
The problem with that argument is then you can look at anything anyone spends money on why are you doing that? You could do that to me for going to Nets games. They stink,
you're
for
spending it on
jerseys.
Entertainment. What are you spending it on for the plane? You're spending it on what? What is the point?
Well, in their mind, they're sending a message, but I don't think it's fair because a lot of things are better for the world, like charity, than the stuff we spend money on.
It's a GoFundMe.
So to downplay it with that is just, it's cheap. It's cheap to do
because
that.
Because it's not spending money at the store for something you want because you want to be entertained. This is donating money to a GoFundMe for something. It's preposterously stupid. It's stupid.
I understand, but
if they're going to fire these two bozos, they're going to fire them regardless of whether you spend money on a plane or not.
People spend money to donate to politicians. Okay. I have always found that to be incredibly stupid. But that's up to the individual. I'm not going to make them feel bad by saying, why don't you donate to charity? Like, you can spend money however the hell you want to spend money. You can't be sitting there judging.
I am judging.
I hate when people do that.
I am judging. And I've spent money on a lot of stupid stuff.
That's my point.
It's not donating, but how about the people that spend money on tickets and then wear a bag over their head? They're clearly trying to make a statement. They spent money on the tickets. The team has two wins in November.
And you're still watching the game and doing that. I have less of a problem
with
that.
But flying planes is just the evolution of the bag over the head. This is essentially just a more expensive bag.
I think the flying the planes over the head is just another evolution of the social media cesspool we're in, where everybody just wants to say, I helped do that.
I wonder what the sign's going to say. Like, what do you even say at this point?
There was one that said it wasn't confirmed that it said, you know, Mr. Mara, please clean house.
Okay. So you're basically asking for everyone to be fired.
Yeah, now we don't know what the other two have to be, you know, whatever.
You got to respect that they're showing such class in the note, like Mr. Matt.
Matter of fact, I'm reading the GoFundMe now. Man, that's a lot of money Pat Leonard donated, huh?
That's funny.
Unbelievable. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the LA Chargers and the New York Giants. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
We had an argument earlier about a half hour ago. You may have missed on the Odyssey app. You could rewind that. Sean thinks it's okay to dump the dog stuff that you clean up into someone else's trash can. And I tried to politely tell him that it's wrong. You can't do that. Talked about that a few minutes ago. Anthony is calling from Middletown. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan. How are you, buddy?
Just
thank you for your common decency and respect to other people's property. Sean, if you ever did that to my garbage pail, you'd be picking your teeth up off the sidewalk.
Oh, would I, Anthony? Anthony, how many times you go out there with the hose and clean out your garbage pail?
Sean,
how many times do you clean your garbage pail?
I'm myself. I'm sorry, what's that?
How many times are you out there with the hose cleaning your garbage pail? Please tell me, enlighten us.
Once a month.
Yeah, once a month. Okay. All right. So
yeah, once a month, Sean.
It's Sean, not the signing on your house, Anthony. The name
other people's property, Sean.
Other people's property? Anthony, I didn't climb up to somebody's side of the house and dump it. It is on the street, left out.
What does it matter? It's still not yours.
Still not mine. It's the name is there. What is the name? Garbage pail. It is for garbage. Yeah. Dog poop in a plastic bag is garbage. Okay. Not if you care that much about your property, Anthony, then instead of worrying about knocking my teeth down, how about you get your lazy ass out of the door and bring the pail up the driveway from the side? Goodbye. See ya. I can't talk over you. It's so stupid. He would have the patience to knock my teeth out, Evan, but not the patience to come out with a pair of Crocs and wheel his pail back up to the side of the house. It's got to sit out there for 6 days, but nobody can put dog poop in it. Those people get lost. It's garbage. I'm so passionate about this,
Sean.
It's pissing me off.
Sean, you're so wrong.
No, I'm not.
You are because...
No, I'm not.
In the course of the last 5 minutes, you're telling people how to spend their money.
Yeah,
that's one thing. And now you're telling people how to maintain their own property. You don't have a right to interfere with somebody's property.
I'm not telling people to maintain
their property. Their garbage can is theirs. You don't get to dump it in there.
Here's my dog's poop.
If they leave their garbage pail on the driveway, it is a signal. Garbage goes here. Again, if I went up somebody's driveway, it's a different story. On the street, you have not brought in your garbage pail?
That's not you.
Fair
not,
game. It's garbage.
You're not the police of this.
And no shot Anthony's hosing out his pail once a month. No, like... Yeah, what the biggest lie ever told.
You know who I'm curious his opinion on this? There is one person who I think could break this tie, and I would accept their answer.
Tiki?
No. Not even Tiki, and I respect the hell out of Tiki.
He's a dog owner.
He is, but someone else. Al Dukes.
Well, Al Dukes. Dog poop.
Al Dukes walks that dog all the time.
There's
no way Al. There's no way Al holds a bag of dog poop till he gets back to his car.
You going to text him or should I?
You text him.
Why? You don't have a relationship with him?
I do have a relationship with him, but I think it's compromised because I don't want him giving me the wrong answer and then I start fighting with him and it distracts me for the next 2 hours.
That's a fair point. That's a very, very, very fair point. Unbelievable. The Pirates almost tied up the game against the Cincinnati Reds with one out in the ninth inning, and the right fielder, Novelli Marte, climbed the fence and took a home run away from Brian Reynolds. So, Met fans, if you're engaged the way I am and the Pirates helping us out, what happened to us on Sunday with Jacob Young making that incredible catch against Alvarez? Well, Marte made a better one. He climbed the fence, jumped up in the air, extended his arm, and took a home run back that would have tied the game in the ninth inning. So, yeah, it's painful. Pain, bro. I mean, his arm extended about 5 feet over the right field fence, And he brought it back. And so now the Reds are an out away from winning the final game of this series and really applying the pressure to the Mets. But Brian Reynolds came this close, like inches away from a game-tying home run.
And you know what the Reds call that?
What do they call that?
A championship DVD moment, and they have won the ballgame.
Yes, they did. Andrew McCutchen lined out, so the Reds win. It can be, but the Reds lost 2 out of 3 at home to the Pirates. So I'm not sure if the Red fan thinks it's a DVD moment, but it can be. Because it was very close to the Pirates tying the game up. So bad news for the Mets. Here's what we now know officially. If the Mets lose tonight, they lose control. That's what it means. They lose all control of this wild card race if they lose tonight. So Marte, who grounded out with the bases loaded yesterday with the game on the line, today is the hero making this incredible leaping catch going over the right field fence to take a game-tying home run away. On the other side, there is good news coming out of Arizona. The Dodgers have a 4-0 lead on the Diamondbacks.
I also want to thank the Chicago Cubs for all those day games played at Wrigley. Thank you that tonight is a night game, because could you imagine Evan right now?
Well, Tiki took a personal day today, right?
Yeah.
So would I.
Doesn't this kind of feel like election night almost? Good news coming out of Arizona.
Yeah. It does. Well, that's why, and we'll see how this lays out. Sunday has a chance to be stupid. Because the way baseball lays out Sunday is that every game starts at the same time.
Right.
Every game will start at a little after 3 o'clock, 3:10, 3:15, give or take 5 or 10 minutes. So there's a chance that the Mets will be playing, right? The Reds will be playing, the Diamondbacks will be playing, even in your case, the Yankees, all these things going on, and it's all happening at the same time with so much on the line.
I wonder how sports bars handle that 3 o'clock hour on Sunday.
Well, I think it depends where you are, the market that you're in. I mean, obviously here in New York, the Giants, the Mets, and the Yankees are the clear priorities.
But that's what I'm talking about. So you go to a typical sports bar on a Sunday, and they got every NFL game, usually the sound on for the locals. You know, at 3 o'clock, if the Giants are getting blown out, are they pivoting to the baseball in those places?
I don't know. I guess it depends how much the bar owner knows about the playoff races, because they are complicated. I feel like I've got to repeat it a lot, because it's like, what the hell's going on?
Right.
The Mets control this, they don't control that. Tony's in Staten Island. Hey, Tony.
Yes, I know the last 3 years, at least definitely in the National League East, the team that won the division has lost to a wild card team, and it's happened in other divisions too, we've seen. And my solution is that the team that wins the 2 out of 3 should make that series, instead of a best of 5, a best of 7. This way, if the team that has the layoff for the week is a little rusty after game one, you still got a best of 7. It's a big difference between being down 0-1 and a best of 5 than a best of 7.
I think the problem we run into with this baseball format is time. I mean, they know they need to end this season before we get to November, unless you want to have a neutral site world.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Series, which I don't think anybody wants. Yeah. So you got a month to get this crap done. You got a month. And having more than a best of 3 and making it a best of 5 and making a best of 5 a best of 7, you just run out of time. Like, the only way you can do this is by shortening the regular season, which I think they're eventually going to do. I think we're headed towards it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think eventually it'll be either 152 or 146, like nothing crazy. Like, I don't think they're cutting the season in half, but I definitely think they're going to take games away. And it's connected with something I do want to bring up. I think a part of why Major League Baseball will have no issue cutting down on regular season games is that the home run records mean crap. Mm-hmm. And that was evidenced by the last few nights. We'll get to that and why Cal Raleigh is still not the American League MVP.
Sure about that?
Because he thinks it's okay to walk his dog and then collect the feces and place it in any garbage can he wants, saying, hey, keep your can cleaner.
Here's my dog's poop.
As long as it's on the street. You're not climbing up somebody's property to leave it.
So I told Sean he's wrong. He got into a fierce argument with a caller about 15 minutes ago. You could rewind on the Odyssey
app. And the caller started by saying he'd knock my teeth out. Let that be known, too.
Yeah, because you were doing something to his property.
Real tough guy.
Well, okay. You don't have to berate him. I thought he was a nice gentleman. So I said to Sean, look, let's reach out to Al Dukes. Al is a guy who's been around for a long time. That's a nice way of saying he's old. He has a dog who he walks like 100 times a day. And Al, to me, is a rule follower. Like, I look at him and I respect what he's going to say. I do. So I told Al the situation. All right? I said, what is your opinion on cleaning up your dog's poo and throwing it in another person's garbage can while walking the dog?
Okay.
I didn't offer an opinion. I asked him. His response was, I do not do that. It is frowned upon here.
Oh.
So now that he told me that, I said, all right, you know, there's an argument here at the radio station. Sean's arguing with a caller. We were very curious about your view on the issue. And he acknowledged, it sucks walking around with a bag of poop in your hands, but you have to. Huh? He nailed it. Of course we don't want to walk around with it, but it's not right to just stick it in someone else's can.
Is it illegal?
I don't know.
It's not illegal. That's the answer. But so Sean, it's actually Sean, fine to do.
Sean, dog poop.
There are things that aren't illegal, and I think Al quotes this well, it's frowned upon. Like, it's not illegal to do certain things, but it's frowned upon.
Well, let me ask you, what is worse? Talking on speakerphone on public transit or putting dog poop that's already in a plastic bag in a garbage bag?
By the way, I think that's a great example. It's not illegal, but it's frowned upon.
I'm trying to find ones, and I think the speakerphone's much worse.
No, that's a great example. Or I went out to brunch with my wife this morning. I left a good tip. If I left a 50-cent tip, I didn't do anything illegal.
It's frowned upon.
It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. Look, it's the same thing as you being the pig who just wants to put his dog's poo wherever he wants.
Dog poop.
You know what? If these are the rules, then guess what else isn't illegal, but it's frowned upon? Just leaving the dog poop out there on the street or on somebody's sidewalk.
But that is illegal. There are laws against that. So, like, you're such a baby.
I'm not a baby.
Instead of saying, wow, Al said it, Evan said it, even Tommy, Tommy didn't say it.
I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to continue to do it. And if you don't like it, move. That's what I'm telling all my neighbors.
Well, the reason why I'm on Sean's side, although I got to admit I'm starting to inch closer to Al and Evan and the rest of society's side, let me ask the parents out there, both of you are parents. Your daughter, your son finishes up some ice cream in a cup. You throwing that cup in someone else's garbage? Yes, you are.
No,
you're 1,000%. You throw the popsicle stick in the garbage.
No, I'm with you, man.
It's because it's poop that we're and dog people are so, you know, hoity-toity.
Tommy, I can't say what people frown upon. I'm going to just tell you for myself. You cannot stick something in someone else's garbage can.
It's
not your
cans. Dude.
You can't do it.
It's a garbage can.
It doesn't matter. It's not yours.
They all smell. They all stink. Now, look, if I walked up on somebody's garbage can and it was like the most pristine condition garbage can I've ever seen, you could tell that person cares a lot, maybe I'd think twice. But we're talking, half these garbage cans, they got dirt hanging over them, everything else. You can't tell me you care that much about it. It looks like garbage.
All right, I'm putting a poll out on social media.
Sure.
Is it okay to phrase it this way? Is it okay to put dog poo in someone else's garbage can?
Yeah.
To the point,
yeah.
Yes, no problem, and no, you're a pig.
I mean, they put the Giants in the NFC East. It's the same thing.
But that's worded correctly. You're not going to complain?
No, I'm not going to complain. Okay. I know people are going to side with you, and I don't care. I'm still going to do it.
Here's my dog's poop.
Now, let me get to the baseball. Last night, I was disgusted. I mean, good for Cal Raleigh. He's having a wonderful, wonderful season.
The pig dumper.
Yeah, right. Good timing. The big dumper had a wonderful night last night. He had two more home runs for the Seattle Mariners. They won their 89th game of the year. They've won the American League West. The guy's a beast. He's having a wonderfully historic season. He has now hit 60. 60.
Yeah.
Which used to be this cherished number. And for some reason, 60 is now like, ooh, 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 he has to win the MVP. Aaron Judge hit two home runs yesterday?
Yeah, he's 51.
He has 51.
Should be 52 Easter Sunday, I don't forget.
I don't mean to knock Aaron because I think Aaron's one of the great players of our lifetime. But don't you think between Cal Raleigh hitting 60, Judge hitting 62 a few years ago, Kyle Schwarber's at 56, Shohei Ohtani is at 54, wherever he's at.
He just hit one.
He may be at 55 at this point. I don't even know. Don't you agree? Like, it doesn't even matter that much anymore?
I think
the home run is kind of... Like, it's cool, but it isn't what it used to be because these guys, not just one, but a lot of guys are assaulting the record books like they did in the steroid era. I don't think it means as much.
I think 60 does mean something. 55 is not 60. It's still another five to get there. And all I'm calling out is hypocrisy because we all ate it up and went nuts. And I was right at the top line when Judge did this a couple of years ago, and we started calling it the American League record, right? Because that was a way to skirt the whole steroid thing.
Right.
This kind of ironically feels a lot when Bonds suddenly quickly broke.
It was too quick.
It was too quick. And I think Cal Raleigh, also West Coast, there's a lot of ties into it, is kind of falling into Bonds, do we really care as much territory? And I think he's kind of being punished. If Judge had not done that a couple years ago, what are we saying? We're going to punish Cal Raleigh because Judge did it a couple years ago?
It's a little bit about Judge a few years ago, but here's what it's also about. Kyle Schwarber's hit 56 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani's hit 54. Yeah. Like, it's
so do you think something's going on here? What do you think is going on?
No. I don't think anything's going on with individuals. I think the sport is just so different that 50 doesn't mean what it used to. And clearly 60 doesn't mean what it's used to.
I think 60's still special.
I don't think so.
Seven human beings ever.
Sean, I love this sport. I love the history of this sport. I saw him hit the two home runs last night, and it was like, Schwarber's at 56. Like, it just, because so many other guys are doing, like, can I give you an example? When Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs, who hit the second most home runs?
I have no idea.
It was Kyle Schwarber. Do you know what the number was?
50?
46.
Okay.
Do you know what the third most home runs?
42.
Pete Alonso, 40.
Okay.
Like, Aaron Judge didn't just win, or didn't just hit 62. He hit 16 more home runs than the next highest guy, and 22 more home runs than the next highest guy after that.
See, I don't
this season,
that.
No, hold on. This season, Cal Raleigh's hit 60. We're having a parade. He's literally only four ahead of one guy, six ahead of another guy, and nine ahead of the real MVP of the American League. Like, when you think about it that way, it's impressive. I'm not trying to diminish that he has had a great year, but dude, it doesn't mean the same when so many guys are right there.
4, 6, and 9 is still a lot when you get to 60.
Compared to Judge.
Okay, so Judge, the league was more off that year? That's what I don't understand. So you're punishing Cal Raleigh because Judge played in a year where less home runs were hit? The guy could hit 62, guy could hit 63 by the end of the weekend. It's insane.
When Roger Maris hit 61, forget Mick, because Mickey Mantle, they had a race, and he's an all-time great player.
Yeah.
The next highest guy after that was Orlando Cepeda with 15 less home runs. There was a drop-off. When Babe Ruth hit the 60, there was a drop-off.
I understand your argument.
But I find it irrelevant, though. It's not irrelevant.
I do think it's irrelevant because basically you're saying, well, Cal Raleigh, if this was Judge's year, he wouldn't have hit this many. Look how many people are hitting home runs this year. I don't think there's a
correlation. Oh, you don't think there's something to that?
I don't.
See, you asked me, am I implying something? I'm not implying anything about the baseball players. I'm not accusing
anyone. The baseballs are wound tighter this
year? Probably, yeah. Yeah. Well, is that crazy?
No, I mean, nothing's crazy. I view, and this is where we're just different, I view getting to 60 as a special number. And maybe that's because I'm a blinded Yankee fan that was basically coaxed into thinking it was a big deal when Judge did it 2 years ago. I'm just trying to be consistent.
It was a big deal when Judge did it 2 years ago. It's not a big deal anymore.
Because Judge did it?
No, because Judge...
What if he hits more than Judge did?
Hold on. It's not because Judge did it. It's because he was so annihilating everybody else. Things feel easy this year. Kyle Schwarber may hit 60. It's on the table. He has a big weekend, and it's 60 home runs. If two guys hit 60, and we know the last time two guys hit 60, what was going on? I forgot. And I'm not accusing them of it, but it took away the specialness of it. I'm sorry.
And this is where it gets very nuanced, and I know you guys are tired of this argument. If Cal Raleigh's not a catcher, he could hit 70.
Why would you say that? Because of the wear and tear on his knees?
We've been told our whole lives about the wear and tear and these catchers wearing down at the end of the year. Cal Raleigh hasn't worn down. He's also started more games as a catcher than Aaron Judge did in the outfield this year.
I understand, because Aaron had some injuries.
Okay. That's a big deal with
that. That is a big deal. It still doesn't make him having a better year than Judge, because he's not.
Okay, but...
Like, Aaron Judge is having a better year than Cal Raleigh, and people who are arguing it are just ignoring the facts because they think it's so cool that a guy with a fun nickname is a catcher, and he had 60 home runs. He's a .248 hitter. He has a .960 OPS. Mm. Judge destroys him in those two stats. Enough.
If he didn't play in Seattle, I'm telling you, I'm having a different argument. If Cal Raleigh was a Met or a Yankee right now, we'd think he's the MVP. I don't work that way.
That may be your biased minds. I don't work that way. Okay. I give my honest opinion. I don't care what team you're on.
But this is where the catcher thing does
Clayton
come
into play. Kershaw should have won the Cy Young over R.A. Dickey. Ooh. I said it. It's true. Am I biased or am I just giving you an honest opinion?
And I'm giving you my honest opinion. You brought up the
Well, you what? No. Hold on. Before you continue, you accused me and others of saying, well, if he played in New York, we think differently. No. What's that based on?
I, I believe that.
Well, you can believe it all you want. I thought R.A. Dickey didn't deserve to win the Cy Young over Clayton Kershaw. Why did I think that? It's because I'm honest, not because I'm a biased fanboy like you and some others. So don't accuse me of it. Accuse yourself of it. Don't accuse me.
R.A. Dickey wasn't doing the pitching equivalent of 60 home runs.
Thank you.
He wasn't doing the pitching equivalent of 60 home runs. Cal Raleigh is playing in the Pacific Northwest, where half of us haven't seen a pitch that he's had, except for when he's played
irrelevant.
The locals.
It's irrelevant.
It is relevant.
But why is it relevant?
Your point above anything else, talking about the guys being bunched in, well, look how much closer these guys are. I don't think any of them are going to hit 60, okay? Cal Raleigh has, and if you're going to play that game, Cal Raleigh caught, he might have the same gap between Aaron Judge and like he did with the others if he wasn't a catcher.
Well, who cares about ifs?
Who cares?
He's a catcher.
It adds to the legacy he's doing. He's doing this as a catcher. It's insane.
Sean, it adds to his legacy. It still doesn't make him having a better year than Aaron Judge, and it doesn't take away from the fact that literally four guys have hit 50 home runs, and Eugenio Suarez, if he wakes up, hits two more, he's at 50.
Okay.
Like,
great.
It's
60's different.
It's cheapened 50. I think 60's been cheapened. And quite frankly, it's a part of why, just to bring something back to earlier in the show, it's why cutting down their games doesn't matter anymore. Because these records, it's not the same. It was 162. We can't have 154. Why the hell not? We had it for a million years. Why not 146? Guys are going to hit 60 anyway, the way home runs are coming. So I think that this assault on the record book makes it easier to cut down on regular season games from lawyers like myself who aren't going to care as much about records. Now, I'm not saying that's a conspiracy.
Sure.
I don't think baseball did that for that reason. I think they know home runs sell. That's why the baseballs get wound tighter sometimes. But I'm being honest with you. Like, my hesitation from cutting down from 162 is gone now. What the hell do I care about the home run record? The home run record is dead.
That would make me, if we think they're going to cut down, that would make me even more vote for Cal Raleigh for the MVP. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King now, exclusively on Paramount Plus. He's going to win MVP. Just brace yourself.
I'm not telling you who's going to win. I'm telling you who should win. I'm not a writer. I'm not a two-bit writer. Like, I'm telling
you. What
do
you think is going to happen, though? Forget what you should. Honestly.
I have no idea what these writers are going to do. I'm telling you what should happen. And I don't think it's close. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I think the numbers are so overwhelming that I think this is stupid. I think it's a dumb argument at this point.
All right.
And I don't know why 60, like, even
Cal Raleigh playing in a pitcher-friendly park?
It's not really as pitcher-friendly as you think.
Okay.
And, you know, like Big Mac said the other day, oh, if you hit 60, everything changes. Why? Because it's a magic number to you?
It is a magic number.
What?
It's like a pitcher getting the 300 wins.
Yeah, that's overrated. He's at 51 home runs, Aaron Judge. Is that cool? I mean,
you want
to talk about records? Aaron Judge has hit over 50 home runs how many times now? That's a record.
Yeah.
Since we're doing the whole record thing with Cal Raleigh, you want to do the record thing with Aaron Judge? And oh, by the way, he's hitting 330 while he's doing it. And he doesn't get pitches to hit. And he gets pitches that are called balls, called strikes, consistently. Like, I'll play the game, too.
All of Cal Raleigh's at-bats? Do we know the same thing is not happening to him?
Well, you're just going to make an assumption. I'm telling you based on facts what's going on with Aaron Judge.
Because we've seen it. This is exactly my point. We here in New York are being clouded by not seeing Cal Raleigh every
day. I'm being clouded by the fact that Aaron Judge beats him in basically every important statistic. That's what I'm clouded by.
Magic number. MVP.
By the way, Tommy, I want to give you a victory on something.
Thank you.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
We argued for a long time, best player in baseball. And I said, it's Judge. And you'd always say Ohtani.
Of course.
And you would always say he pitches. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he doesn't pitch. And I always said to you, Tommy, I said, listen, man, once he starts pitching and he does it well, I will agree with you. Mm-hmm. But we're not there yet. I'm ready to say Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball.
Of course he is.
Well, now he is.
He's pitching great.
He's pitching great. He's going to be the game one starter. The Dodgers are thinking about deploying him in like a million different ways. Oh, by the way, he's hit 54 home runs. So you were wrong then. But you're right now, and so I'm with you. Ohtani.
Thank you.
Congrats. I'm going to bow out of the race with Bobby Witt Jr. Judge is better.
By the way, Evan, another debate you and I have long since had is shortening the baseball season. Here's the checkmate. If the season was shorter, the Mets would have already clinched a playoff spot. And you would have to be sitting there watching Arizona Diamondback games.
Just remember this.
If Tommy, the season ended today, Evan, like I would want, Tommy, it would be a shorter baseball season.
No. Tommy wants to shorten the baseball season to 90 games, okay?
somewhere around there.
I'm good in the 140s, low 150s. And honestly, the assault on this record just makes me even more confident that that's fine. Now, let's take some of your calls. I'm sure everyone agrees with me. I don't know how you couldn't. Aaron Judge is the MVP of the league. Cal Raleigh getting all this pub. Like, he's had a great year. It's wonderful. Oh, by the way, Dodgers are up 8-0.
You going to take out emotional insurance now?
On the Diamondback game?
Yeah.
8-0? That's a good idea.
Because the odds got to be juicy for that.
Yeah, I'm going to
think about how devastated you would feel if Arizona came back in the fourth inning and rallied here.
Before we take a call, what do you think the odds are right now on the Diamondbacks' money line? They're trailing 8-0.
+2,200.
+5,500.
Wow.
So right now, if I bet $10 on the Diamondbacks winning, I'd win $550.
That sounds like emotional insurance we should all check out.
You think so?
I think so.
All right, I think I'll do that.
All right.
Let's go to Jim in Levittown. What's up, Jim?
How you guys doing? I wanted to give my 2 cents on why I think Sean is arguing so passionately. And by the way, I think 60 means something too, but I think he's arguing so passionately because if he says to you that 60 isn't a big deal, he's diminishing what Aaron Judge did a couple of years ago.
Bingo, that's part of it, Jim. You nailed it.
But you know what's funny about that, Jim? I don't diminish what Judge did. I think this season is different. In fact, I was arguing the opposite by saying, look how far away everybody was when he hit over 60. That's a defense of he hit it in a year in which it felt more difficult to hit home runs. Raleigh's done it in a year in which four guys have already hit 50.
But Evan, if I could take you back in a time machine.
So I'm defending Judge.
By the way, I'm losing track. Was this 3 years ago now?
2022.
So 3 years ago. Right, because they didn't make the playoffs in 2023. So 3 years ago when this happened.
By the way, same thing as 98 to 01 with McGuire, Sosa, yeah, to Bonds.
Exactly. And I remember not caring as much about Bonds. Played on the West Coast. I had just seen it. And that's, I think Cal is getting that treatment. I do think that we forget when we were talking about Judge, it wasn't just, wow, look at him compared to everybody else, which is the argument you're making now. That counter on the bottom of the screen and this whole lead up to 60, 60, 60. We all sat there and lived and died with the idea that 60 was a magic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Number, and it didn't matter if anybody else hit 50 or 40.
The keyword is was. I don't think it matters anymore.
But it's not like three guys have hit 60 since. What if Cal Raleigh hit 60 and that's the last time somebody hit 60 for 50 years?
Bro, Kyle Schwarber's at 56 right now. Again, Schwarber could get to 60.
But
what are we talking about?
But what if he doesn't? You're making the assumption now that all of a sudden we're just going to have 60 home run hitters the next couple years.
No, I'm saying this season, this specific season has completely weakened it when you've got four guys over 50, including Aaron Judge, who's the league 60, MVP.
60 isn't 50.
Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. Mario.
What's going on? Good show, guys.
Thanks.
First thing I want to start off by, remember you were talking about you don't know where to watch the game?
Oh, yeah. Right, well, baseball is going to be on Netflix next year. So, yeah, we were saying it's tough to find where the game is on.
I'm telling you something. If you Google a game on your phone, on the bottom of the game, it says watch live. You click on there, and it says where it's on.
There you go. Yeah, that's helpful.
So I just wanted to tell you that. Well, I've got two things on baseball. Number one thing about Judge that's very interesting is he had 50 back-to-back. That's only been done 6 times.
Yep.
So that's another thing that he did this year that nobody else did. And the last thing I want to say, I hear what you're saying, and I agree to you to a certain extent about the 60, but maybe it's not true, because I've been looking at the betting line all up until he hit 60, and he was way ahead. Guess what? He's not favored anymore. It's -200 for a rally and +160 for Judge.
No. The MVP betting odds have changed a lot. I'm just telling you what I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the writers are going to do, and clearly the betting odds changing the way they have shows you they don't know. Because Aaron Judge a week ago was a heavy, heavy favorite. Now Cal Raleigh is a little bit of a favorite. I don't know ultimately what writers are going to do. I'm just telling you my opinion. I don't think it's that close. They're both playoff teams. The Mariners have won their division. We'll see about the Yankees. And I just think Aaron Judge has had a better year. I mean, I'm sorry. And I don't even, actually, I take my apology back. Why am I sorry? I'm right.
I don't know the answer to this, and I realize I should know the answer to this, but you will know the answer to this.
Maybe. I don't know everything.
Because it did happen in the NFL.
Go.
Can they share the MVP?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Has that happened before?
It's happened with Keith Hernandez and Willie McCovey. It was one of the Willies.
One of the Willies.
They shared, I think, MVP in 1979.
Because it was, Steve McNair and Peyton Manning shared it that one year?
Yeah, but
NFL?
Remember, it's not a purpose share. Like, the voting needs to be equal.
And right. Favre and Barry Sanders did it as well, 97.
Yeah. Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez shared the MVP. And what's so funny is, I go to Baseball Reference and I look at the numbers. I see, oh, yeah, they voted. They finished tied, right? And then I look at the stats. Stats tell us that neither should have won the MVP. Like, modern stats tell us that Dave Winfield should have won the MVP.
Different way of viewing stats back
then. It's just, bro, it's a different world. But, yeah, the way Keith and Willie ended up tying was that it's just votes. Like, it has to finish tied.
So
it's not like we're saying, oh, let's share it. Like, the votes have to fall to where they end up tied.
Would you be in an uproar if it was a tie?
Yeah, because it's not a tie. Okay. Aaron Judge is the MVP. It's not close.
All right.
Uproar. I mean, look, here's what's going to happen.
I think people would walk away very satisfied because you would view him as an MVP. You would never be like, he won 2.5 MVPs.
They announced the MVP award, or they will announce the MVP award, the night of a Jet-Patriot game. There's a really good chance they will announce it, and I'm going to be like, oh, okay.
Right.
But today, on September 25th, that's when we care mostly about, like, awards. We don't care when they announce it, but just in the moment we care.
They should announce it Sunday night.
That'd be great. I agree with you. We'll get back to your calls next. A lot of passionate opinions. Plus, Aaron Glenn was finally asked about the dance. The dance. You remember after the Will McDonald blocked field goal that was returned for a touchdown?
Will McDonald blocked a kick. E-I-E-I-O.
Not bad.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.